This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
But I really understand the importance of loving people. It's spiritual warfare. It's the highest form of spiritual warfare that you can do. If you have a strong love walk, I think it just disables the devil. The next thing that's important about this love thing is you got to learn to love yourself. Most people don't even like themselves, let alone love themselves. It's the truth. I don't like this about me, and I don't like that about me. I don't like this about me, and I don't like that about me. Well, why don't you just embrace all of you today? God made me the way I am for what He wants me to do, and I don't need to apologize for it, and neither do you. Amen? Now, I don't mean to say by that we shouldn't grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I study love and the fruit of the Spirit all the time. And it grieves me if I feel like that I am unkind to somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm just talking about stop trying to be something that you're not. Stop trying to be like somebody else that you've got as a role model there that you think that you should be like. You can maybe learn some things from them as an example, but you can't be them. You're stuck with you. I said you're stuck with you. You better like yourself, because everywhere you go, there you are. You know what? It's a scary thought to think that I will never for one second in my whole life ever get away from me. I mean, that's pretty frightening. So I finally decided, I mean, I don't enjoy even spending 1 hour with somebody I don't like. So to spend your whole life with somebody you don't like is really a nightmare. So I suggest that you decide today to come to terms of peace with yourself, embrace the who you are in Christ, and say, I love it all. And I challenge you every day to say out loud at least 4 or 5 times, I love myself. You don't need to say it to somebody, but just between you and God. Might not work too good if you went to work and said, I love myself, I love myself. Oh, I love myself. You just have no idea. It just about gives the devil a nervous breakdown when you start saying, I like myself. Matter of fact, I just love myself. I value myself in Christ. Hey, I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Woo, I'm making progress. Amen? Then the next thing that we need to do after that, I guess I could say that this is probably one of the most important messages that I ever learned in my life. I mean, they all seem really important to me, but even out of these 10 or 12 that I'm going to share with you, there are 3 or 4 that just stand out even more brightly than some of the others. And one of them is what I'm getting ready to talk to you about now, which is really developing and focusing on walking in love with other people. You see, everything that God gives us as a free gift, He wants us to give away as a free gift. It's to you and through you. We receive mercy from God, and then He tells us to be merciful. We receive kindness from God, be kind. We receive patience from God, be patient. The wonderful thing about God is He never expects us to do something that He doesn't equip us to do. He always shows us the way by first treating us the way He wants us to treat other people. I can tell you that the best estimate I can make from my years of ministry, approximately 70 to 80% of all Christians are mad at somebody. Don't look at me like that. Well, you don't know what they did to me, bless God. Well, let's back the train up and think about what we did to God. Well, I'm not going to just keep forgiving them for the same thing over and over and over. Uh-oh. Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother for the same thing? Seven? I don't know. I guess for some reason he thought he could handle that. Maybe he was already at 6.5 and thought he only had about another half of forgive in him. Then Jesus said, no, how about 70 times seven? And all that was just representative of however many times it takes. When you forgive people, you set yourself free. And you put them in God's hands. Let me ask you a question. Why would you want to spend your life being mad at somebody that's out having a good time and don't even care that you're upset? What sense does that make? And it has nothing to do with the love walk. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love forgives, and it forgives quickly in obedience to God. Loving people is about forgiving people. It's about being merciful to people, long-suffering with people. Hey, listen, I've had people in my life that I've wanted to give up on too. I'm quite sure that Dave wanted to give up on me a number of times. But you know what? I don't even think for him it was even an option, because he trusted God that if he would keep loving me, that God could change me. You see, I didn't really need somebody to tell me about Jesus. I needed somebody to show me Jesus. Are you there? And we're very good at the tell, but a lot of times we have no show. And that doesn't mean that we don't confront people. That doesn't mean that we just become a doormat and let everybody walk all over us and be abusive toward us. That's not love. Sometimes love has to be a tough version of love. But real love doesn't give up on people. Love always believes the best of every person. Let me just fast forward this and say that I tried every way that I could possibly try to be a happy Christian. And the truth of the matter was, even though I had a ministry and a sizable ministry, and I was born again, had the Holy Spirit in my life, didn't have any huge personal problems, I wasn't happy. And one day God gave me the opportunity to face some truth about myself. You know, point number two from last night. And the Lord just simply said to me in my heart, you are unhappy because you're selfish. And I get it, because we think, well, that can't. No, I'm unhappy because they. Because you. Because I need and I want. And if I had, I would be happy. And if I didn't have, I would be happy. But I can tell you, it just puts a Band-Aid on the problem. It doesn't fix it. You got to get to the root. And it is not possible to be selfish and be happy. How often do you get mad when you don't get your way? Just thought I'd throw that out. I mean, I know how I was, and probably none of you were as bad as I was, because I was pretty bad. I mean, if I didn't get my way, then you might as well forget talking to me the rest of the day, because I'm going to go sit in a corner somewhere and sulk all day. I was manipulative and controlling, full of self-pity. I mean, I wanted to eat where I wanted to eat when I wanted to eat. I didn't care so much about what anybody else wanted. It was, what about, you know, me, me, me. I know that we think that trying to get what we want is what's going to make us happy. And it might be a temporary little fleshly zing, but it's not a permanent answer. The only real permanent fix is to do exactly what the Bible says. Forget yourself, lose sight of yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And that doesn't sound inviting, but it actually is wonderful. There is no freedom until we're free from us. Until I'm free from having to try to keep me happy all day, every day, then I'm not free. Amen? We fight and fight to get what we want, and here's the thing. Tell God what you want. And trust Him to give it to you if it's right and when it's right. And if He doesn't give it to you, then be glad that He didn't, because it must be something that you don't need. God has an individual plan for every one of us. You can't look at somebody else and say, why isn't God doing that for me? Because there's something else God's doing for you that they're looking at you saying, why doesn't God do that for me? Learn how to love people. It has been very grievous to me to see, and it's only because God has given me a real revelation on this, I believe, and not that I'm perfect at it, because I'm not by any stretch of the imagination. But I really understand the importance of loving people. It's spiritual warfare. It's the highest form of spiritual warfare that you can do. If you have a strong love walk, I think it just disables the devil. And love means that you care about people. You don't want to hurt people. You're careful about how you treat people and how you talk to people. You care about people that are less fortunate than you are. You can't just hear about a need and say, well, isn't that a shame? You're going to do anything you can to help meet that need. And if you can't meet it by yourself, you may get radical enough to go get other few bored, miserable Christians and see if they'd like to get involved in helping meet a need. Amen? Something amazing happens on the inside of us when we get ourselves off of our mind and we really start to care about other people. Jesus said, one new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If the body of Christ was on fire with love, the world would already be saved and we could be in heaven. So, that was like a really important message to me. And I had to study love for years and years and years. And I still get refresher courses as often as I possibly can. Now, the next thing and the last thing that we'll discuss today, which I knew it was going to come down to this, is found in James chapter 4, verse 6. Let me just give you a little bit of background. I was about the most frustrated Christian that you could possibly be, because I was hearing all these messages about what I should be and knew that I wasn't, and I was trying really hard to change. Does anybody here know what it's like to try to change? And the more you try to change, the worse you act. I mean, I would promise God that I would not say anything wrong that day. That would last 2 seconds. I had a great plan for holiness till I got up. I got along with everybody. I was the most loving person when nobody was home. That's why it feels so good in church. I mean, well, yeah, who couldn't behave in that atmosphere? But we don't live here. We live out in the world with cranky, ornery, aggravated people that need to see Jesus. And they don't need us to give them, they don't need to just see our bumper sticker. They need to see the love of God. Amen? But I was trying so hard to change and just wasn't changing. And to be honest with you, I was just exhausted. I mean, I was one of those Christians that went around all the time saying, oh God, I am so tired of this. Oh my God, I am so sick and tired of this. What is wrong? I am trying so hard. Well, you know, the interesting thing is, believe it or not, God really hasn't given us the job of trying. He's told us to believe. He hasn't given me or you the job of changing ourselves. He wants us to go to Him and ask Him to change us. And then when we seek God first, like I talked about last night, God may give you a plan of action. He may put something in front of you that you need to read, or someone you need to talk to, or something that you need to do, but it's got to be God's idea, not ours. And then it's got to be God all the way through. And then when we know it's God all the way through, then God gets all the credit. And the Bible says that He is not willing to share His glory with anybody, and that includes me and you. He's not going to let us take the credit for our own victories. And I found out the most amazing thing, and it's been a core teaching of mine for 30-some-odd years, that the same grace that saves us is the same grace that changes us. It's the same grace that changes our circumstances. It's the same grace that changes our kids and changes our husbands and changes our wives, if you're a man here. That same grace that we got saved by, that came as a free gift through faith, is the same grace that we have to learn to live by. And when you learn to live every day by the grace of God, now you can have peace. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful peace. Grace is not just undeserved favor, although that is what it is, but it's also power or force. Grace is the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our life to enable us to do with ease what we can never do with any amount of struggle and effort on our own. I can't change myself. You cannot change yourself. And when somebody stands and preaches to you, you need to watch your mouth. That's true. You need to clean up your mind. That's true. But it's not going to do you any good at all to say, yes, bless God, I am going to go home and shut my mouth and think good thoughts. Because you won't. You say, well, then what's the point in even hearing the messages? Why should I even go listen to you if you're going to tell me to do a bunch of stuff that I can't do? Well, it's not that it can't be done, but you got to go about it the right way. So what you do when you hear a message that convicts you of an area of your life where you need change, and I can promise you, most everybody here has already been convicted 25 times since you walked in the door last night. But it's not to make you feel bad about yourself. It's just to get you in agreement with God. Yes, God, that is a problem in my life, and I want to change. Yes, God, I want to change. Yes, God, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I want to change. What God wants us to do is get into agreement with Him. Yes, God, you are right, and I have no excuse. And I take responsibility. I'm not going to blame it on anybody else. And God, I want to change, so I am asking you to change me because I cannot do it myself. Wow. Really? Now, I'm not saying that God won't show you anything that you need to do. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. So all of our labor, if we're not laboring with God, but we're laboring apart from God, is going to be fruitless. But when we say to God, you know, God, I really, really want to change. Listen, my mouth is my greatest gift, but it is also my biggest problem. And I've come a long way, but baby, we got a long way yet to go. And that's an area that I'm always praying about every day. God, put a watch over my mouth, lest I sin against you with my tongue. Sometimes I just wish God would just give me a holy gag so I couldn't even, you know, just like not say anything. And it probably seems worse to me than it does anybody else because it's just an area that God highlights for me. And I understand why. What I do say in the rest of my life is very important if I expect the words I say up here to be anointed. So you guys need to pray for me because I got a real problem. I mean, if I'm going to speak to you and it be anointed, then you need to pray for me that in the rest of my life I can just be really good. Amen? And so now, here's an example of how God will work with us. So I pray about this all the time. Now, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. So there's been at least 5 times already this morning where I have started to say something, and it wasn't even that it was bad, it was just pointless. You know, a lot of times for me, it's that. It's not that it's bad, it's just like, what's the point? Because a lot of times we just like to talk to hear ourselves. We just want to say the cute little thing. Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, here's what I think. And you know what? The more we talk, the less sensitive we are to the voice of God. Okay, I'll try that again. The more we talk... Maybe I got some folks over here that'll listen. The more we talk, and I'm not suggesting that we don't talk, but how about if we save our words for things that really matter? The Bible says we're going to give account for all vain, idle, useless, non-working words that we speak. So it's not even that it's an evil communication, it's a useless communication. And so there's probably been at least 5 times already this morning when I started to say something cute or come back at somebody, and you know, it's usually the person you live with. Gotta have the last word, gotta have the last say. Or somebody else, you know. I was talking to my assistant this morning about a time in my life when I had a lot of stress and how stress can affect you, and then she walked on ahead of me a little bit, and I thought about a certain person in my life that had given me a lot of stress. And I was on my way to tell her about that person. And I mean, just as clearly, I felt the Holy Spirit just go, "You don't need to say that." But I wanted to. Why do we get such a big kick out of saying stuff? Oh, but I passed the test this morning. Praise God. I passed the test. And don't we feel so much better when we listen to God than when we don't? Okay, so I've asked God to change me. Well, he's going to show me things to do and not to do. And God never shows us something to do or not to do without giving us the ability to do it. Amen? Amen. So yes, God changes us. We've got to let him go first, and then we have to be willing to say, "God, teach me to hear your voice, to recognize the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so you can walk me out of this test, through the moanies, into the testimony." I don't want to just have a test and moan all my life. I want to end up with a testimony. Amen? So today's message is let God love you. Love yourself. Love other people. Do something kind for somebody today. The world is so full of hurting people. Smile at somebody. Give a good tip when you go out and eat. Well, bless God, I'm not tipping them. My steak was cold. Well, I hate to tell you this, but God tips us sometimes even when we haven't done the right thing. Give somebody a compliment. people are going down the sewer. We need to lift them up. When you run into a cranky person out there, don't just get cranky back. Realize that they're probably hurting somewhere. And maybe even say, you know, are you having a tough day? I'm going to pray for you when I leave. And last, learn to receive the grace of God in every single thing that you do. You're saved by grace. We need to live by grace. We're changed by grace. Only grace can change your kids. Only grace can change your boss. Only grace can change your in-laws, your outlaws. Only grace can change your circumstances. Pray first. You have not because you ask not. When you pray, you open up the door for God's grace. And then when you have grace, you can have peace. The Apostle Paul greeted the churches almost exclusively by saying at the beginning of his letters, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. There is no such thing as peace if we don't know how to receive the grace of God. Because then we're trying to do everything ourselves instead of letting God be God in our lives. God loves you. You know, we hear that phrase a lot, but I wonder how often we stop and really think about what that means. The Creator of the universe and all that's in it loves you and me. He knows everything we've ever done wrong and everything we ever will do wrong, and He still chooses to love us unconditionally. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Today we're offering some teaching about something that I think we all want to do, and that's moving forward. I don't think anybody wants to stay stuck in the same place. And some of you probably are in a place that you really want to get out of and move forward. And we're offering this to you today as a digital download series. You can get more information on how to order yours right after this. Have a great day. We love you, and we're so glad that you joined us for the program. Please keep joining us every day. Most wonderful message in the Bible is receiving the love of God as a free gift. Watch for the love of God in your life and stop giving luck and coincidence the credit for what God's doing. Now, the next thing that's important about this love thing is you got to learn to love yourself.
Experience the life-changing power of God's love and grace to transform you and move you into the fullness of His plan for your life. With Joyce's four-part digital series, Moving Forward, learn to see yourself the way God sees you, available for your gift of $20 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
If I were to ask you if you love your life, what would your answer be? I believe that Jesus wants us to love our lives. But if you don't like what you've got, continuing to do the same thing is not going to give you a different outcome. And I want to encourage you today to get my new book called Living a Life That You Love and see what the changes are that you can make that will start to give you wonderful results in your life. Why not get your copy today?
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.